Small.
And the next Ubuntu is out. Has anybody tried it yet? Who tried it?
Yeah. Same as it was.
Same as it was, yeah. Myth TV 0.25 is out.
Yes,
and that's nice. It's actually better. I've used it. They've integrated the Myth video and Myth music into the core. And I've also put a lot of work into the audio system so you can test it properly.
Yeah. Pops audio is much nicer.
Yeah, and they've added Blu-ray 3D support as well. I haven't tested that out. But interesting to see if that actually works.
Yeah. There's some rumblings about Steam permitting the screen official now.
Yes, yeah. I've probably had a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It ran well in mine anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no ETA on that, so we don't know when, but it's great that it's working somewhere in the world. Anything else?
Has anyone got any Raspberry Pis?
Not yet. I'm still waiting on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on a back order.
Yeah.
So they haven't even taken my money, so.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's a great time you're going to get it soon.
Hey?
That's a great time you're going to get it soon.
Yeah.
That's right.
Did you feel better if someone took your money?
I would. And give me a Raspberry Pi. And not the food variety.
I can give you a Raspberry and a Pi if you like. I'm ready for 30.
So tonight's talk's got Tim doing Luke's, and we've got Darren doing IPv6. Take it away.
I think IPv6 should be better, right? So I'm here to talk about disk encryption. I'm mostly familiar with Luke's encryption. That's Linux Unified Key Setup. I've used Ubuntu's eCryptFS setup when I've used Ubuntu in the past. I wasn't as familiar with the inner workings of it. Is there anyone here using encryption already, like having an encrypted laptop or whatever?
Yeah.
What are you using? What was it last one?
Apple Firewall.
Ah, right, yeah.
Both of those both decrypt the best on Linux. If you just go up to the disk, you can get those. If you just go to the directory, they decrypt the best.
I'm using Linux.
So Ubuntu gives the option to encrypt your whole disk, I didn't know that.
If you use the alternate installer and you press the right buttons,
yeah,
instead of the whole, you use the alarm folks, and that's the right way to put on installer.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was wondering, I thought Ubuntu and Debian used the same sort of installer, so I was surprised that Ubuntu's, like, the way that Debian encryption is so different from the way Debian does, because Debian does it with Linux.
Yeah. That's enough, that's what it's. I tried using the latest Ubuntu alternate, and it just crashed. Installing. So I used Zubuntu, and this is to make a live USB encrypted Ubuntu flash drive. We decided that 2 gigabytes should be for the root file system, which means there's no room to do anything.
Right, yeah. That's where all VMs are. I mean, I'm not talking about all VMs, not that this is one thing they're good for, is if you start off with a root partition that's too small, you can resize it all the
way. Yeah, that'd be nice to know.
So I'm sure we all understand the point of this XKCD comic, right? You can do like really badass encryption till the cows come home, which it will take like NSA a billion years to like figure out. It's freaking useless if they can give you a court order to decrypt your hard drive, which is what they can do in Australia. Like in America at the moment, there are some stuff going through their legal systems where they're trying to set precedents for being able to tell people to decrypt stuff, and it's still not certain in America that the American government can do this. So it's been a lot in the blogging world lately, you know, what's going to happen, etc., etc. But in Australia, the Australian government have actually preempted all that crap. The Australian government put some stuff in a while back which says, okay, if you're given a court order, you must decrypt if you're under investigation. And you can fight it, but you need to weigh up, you know, 6 months for not decrypting versus some unknown amount for decrypting. Yeah. So, given that our government can tell us to decrypt, and choosing 6 months jail over not obeying the order, like, no, but that's a lot of pressure to be put under. There are other reasons to encrypt. Even if you're not like an anarchist or something, like you're not doing stuff that's requiring you don't have to hide stuff from the government. If you're given an order to decrypt, you're still willing to. Even if you're in that situation, there are still reasons to encrypt. A laptop is a good one. I first got started getting into disk encryption when I bought this laptop because I forget if someone stole it, you know. Always the hardware. Who gives a shit about $600 of hardware if they don't get all the rest of the stuff on it? And how hard it is to just sort of run up to someone in the street and take their laptop. So that's one reason. Another reason why you might do it on something that isn't a laptop is if you've got hard disks that you plan to dispose of later. Sure, you can, you know, DD from DevU random and securely erase it, but if you've got encryption on there from the start, you don't need to worry. Your house can get burgled, people can see your computer, you can dispose of your, you can chuck your hard drive in the trash tomorrow if you feel like it, who cares?
Also, if you've got solid states and you DD over them, you're not guaranteed to load over everything because of the load
So solid state disks, this is like a bit I need to say up front, forgot to say it, that they also don't work well with encryption because for the same reason, with their load level and stuff, you either need to turn it off or else you're sort of compromising your encryption.
There is a latent command with the other thing is that is you can wipe it afterwards, but that's not true if your hard drive dies.
And another one which appeals to different people to different levels is it's actually quite interesting to be involved in sort of encrypting stuff. Like, it's just a good intellectual exercise to expose yourself to learning about encryption and so forth. It teaches you a lot of stuff. It exposes you to sort of the internals of what's going on, you know, in the kernel and at the hard drive level and so forth. And it exposes you to cryptographic algorithms and stuff like that. And all this stuff is pretty interesting stuff. Well, I find it interesting. So, yeah. So there's several types of disk encryption available. Don't know if you've seen the Wikipedia page. It's actually quite illuminating. Some have already been mentioned. There's a lot of proprietary stuff listed on the Wikipedia page, which I'm not really interested in. So, searching for EcryptFS because I know how to get to the page I'm thinking of from there. So if you sort by license and also chuck all the maintained stuff at the top, you've got sort of a dozen things here, and it's a bit hard to see from back there, I guess, that some of these don't have links, and I didn't look up the stuff without links. And some of the stuff with links, it's actually specific to BSD, like Jelly, for instance. I tried using that. I couldn't get it to work. Apparently it works, but it's BSD specific anyway. Of the ones here that work on Linux, I think TrueCrypt, these two are sort of together, Crypt Setup and Wix, EcryptFS, Loop AES, and yeah, I think that's about it. So I think Loop AES, it used to be used a lot. I think some people still use it. Apparently it's quite quick and it's really secure, but it's also really arcane. The documentation's not very good, it's hard to install, it's hard to configure, you need to do weird stuff to your kernel. This is just if anyone's used it, please put your hand up. From what I can tell, like, it sounds like it should be a good idea, but it's one of these things that doesn't work for everyone in practice, like in terms of how people go about using it and so forth. TrueCrypt got mentioned on the mailing list, I think John, right? Yeah. And someone mentioned they also use TrueCrypt. I had a quick look at it. I wasn't able to get it to work in a virtual machine. Not without a bit more time to look into it a bit more deeply.
It's pretty straightforward to use.
Yeah. It does come with a GUI, which I had a look at, but the whole thing, it didn't appeal to me. The documentation, like, it's just a PDF and all the screenshots look like Windows screenshots, and it does come with a man page, which someone who uses a bot would probably find it worthwhile to go through the man page and sort of decipher it and all and so forth. But it looks like from what I saw, to do it all manually using, say, a command line or something, it looks like it would require a lot of steps which sort of are fairly easy to do in other ways. You're not checking ahead?
It is pretty straightforward even on command line.
Yeah?
I don't know how that could make it more straightforward. I mean, if you know what the options do.
So what's involved in using it from the command line? What sort of steps?
From memory, you just look at the I usually use the GUI, but you just look at the man page and you select your device, you select your mount point, you select your key file, you get prompted for your password, that's it.
When I had a look at remember what I was looking for. It might have been in the PDF that came with it. Or it might have been in the main page itself. It said something along the lines, if you're not doing this in an automated way, then you need to make sure you go through eight steps.
It might have been for an old version, so it made it pretty easy. Your setup file doesn't install some programming module, I think, but so long as you've got some development libraries, I think you just double to Google. One of the good things about TrueCrypt is you're talking about the situation where the document came.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about that?
Sorry?
Are you going to talk about the hidden petition?
Damn correct, I said hidden petitions. In practice, it seems like there's some doubt that hidden petitions can work, because the way these laws get worded is if the government just suspects that you have stuff you're hiding from them, then they can give you an order, and if you can't produce the goods, then you're obviously hiding even more stuff. But I agree, it sounds like a good idea. And while I was looking around for alternatives to TrueCrypt, I came across something else which is still not very mature, but it looks like much more sort of Linux-centric and sort of Linux from the start, so it seems like it should work more naturally. That's DMSteg. So, DMSteg. Yeah, so I had a quick look at it. I couldn't quite figure out how to get it working, but it seems, but it's only a few months old, so, and it looks like it has the potential to sort of mature nicely.
What do you mean by human petitions? I think you might be talking about something different.
So, in TrueCrypt, right, you have two passwords, and one password will decrypt one set of information, which will be sort of the front information which you're willing to let people see, and the other password will sort of decrypt something which you really, really want to hide. So you could put, say, you know, animal porn in the stuff that you're willing to let people see if they force you to, and you could put your terrorist plots in the stuff that you want to hide. I'm not saying that that's how you do it.
Just mention that there's a good thing in volume in TrueCrypt, there's a bit of a caveat in using it. If you write to your normal volume after you've written your hidden partition, you can actually overwrite the
Of
the hidden partition. So you've got to be careful there. You've got to basically leave the stuff that's not so hidden. You don't touch that, but you can edit your hidden volume here with no dramas. Yeah, it's a risk you take.
Yeah.
Right into your normal you're not in the partition now.
So build that one, they just call me out because all the modified times and files, so you can set up and
not necessarily.
There's common advice to make sure you use your system to build that choke. Yeah, the next one, a new system is the same, you can't modify that one.
You just can't write data to it, but if you touch the file, it should be right.
Sounds like someone knows you've got two TrueCrypt, then when you've got two passwords in it.
No, but you don't necessarily have to be on the second one. It can't really prove that it's there.
They ask you for password, you give them one. True. If they know that you've got TrueCrypt, they know there's a good chance you've got two passwords.
So they can't prove that you're denying a fourth order if you don't.
Unless, as you said, that they know you've got certain pieces of information and you don't produce that piece of information. Because
but they can't prove it should be on that system. I mean, you have to assess all people's information. Another thing is the solid state thing, because that keeps metadata about which parts of your drive you've been written how often, it can give them evidence of what you've mostly been using as other parts outside of the loss.
Still inside the file system, it's just sort of garbled. When you fall in, when you create a TrueCrypt volume,
it's not right to unassigned space as far as that file system is concerned as well.
I don't say that because
around the different volume of the file system.
With TrueCrypt, when you format the drive, it doesn't actually leave any space untouched. It looks like garbles the whole lot.
That's correct.
But
if you saw this whole space recorded by the
drive, it's in some access to
the edge of this room, has no original information. Then you've proven that
that's a potential issue, yeah.
Or you've just rearranged where you use the drive at some stage, but you've got some pretty strong hints that you're covering.
So,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's good. Like, this is how life works, right? Like, I'm not here to deliver a sermon, that's so. And I mean, I'm not like the world's greatest expert on cryptography or everything that goes on in a hard drive or anything, so it's good to hear from other people who have a bit more experience with certain things. So, yeah, TrueCrypt, I mean, I'm personally skeptical. I can see why people like it. As for whether any individual uses it, it's sort of up to them and their needs and so forth, and yeah. I mean, by all means, give it a shot.
So, where was I?
Going through these guys, eh?
Yeah.
So, I guess there's sort of two biggies in the Linux world aside from TrueCrypt, which also has its niche. You've got sort of EcryptFS versus this duo. EcryptFS is it's a file system. It's, if anyone's used a file system in user space, for instance, SSHFS, EcryptFS is a similar sort of thing. Whereas Luke's is sort of block level. So both methods have their strengths and advantages. I wouldn't say definitely use one and not the other. They both have their places in different scenarios, and they can actually complement each other. So Luke's or DMCrypt, it's sort of file system independent. You put a file system on top of it. Every time the kernel knows what it's doing with file systems. Every time it goes to do something with a file system, it sort of does it, and then it sort of passes through this DMCrypt layer, which decides how stuff gets put onto the hard disk. Whereas EcryptFS, it in itself is a file system, so it doesn't require a file system on top of it. It can sort of sit nested inside other file systems and so forth. And the advantage of this is that it can do different encryption things on each different file directories sort of independently of what's going on in other files and directories. So the places where I would see EcryptFS being advantageous is when you, for instance, have sort of a central server in a semi-secure location which you have lots of people using. You can give each of them an EcryptFS home directory, but so long as the server itself is secure, you don't need to worry about sort of encrypting everything on it. You don't need to worry about the swap space or anything. Conversely, Luke's is really good for things like laptops where you only have one person using it, and you're sort of taking it all around the place with you, and anyone can sort of pick it up and run off with it. Because it encrypts the entire partition from front to end, and everything that's happening on the block device that's encrypted. So your swap can be encrypted. Anything that goes into temp and var, you know, that information, the log files and stuff, all that's encrypted from the start, including your home directory as well. Just everything going on the computer can just be encrypted, and you don't have to worry about anything.
I think except for the boot partition.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, when the computer's booting up, it needs to be able to find the kernel and you can have RAM test that decrypts for the device.
That's also an option. I have run Linux encryption only when I just touch home.
Yeah.
That wasn't very sensible, so I fixed that.
It is possible to run it independently. Yeah.
Okay.
I was one of the demos I have in mind, once I get up to that section, will be just like looking at how it works by itself without treading it as a bootable sort of thing. Yeah. And so looking at them this way, it's quite clear that how you can combine them. You could have like a hard drive that's encrypted with Luke's, but you can also have different people using the computer, and they each have a different EcryptFS home. Yeah. So it's not a combination I've used, but now that I think of it, I think it would be nice to do it that way, especially if I had certain people using the computer. Okay, nearly up to the demos bit. One part of what I mentioned at the start about the with that XKCE comic was, you know, if you can have all the greatest encryption in the world, but it's no good if someone can beat it out of you. Part of beating it out of you is if your password is so complicated that you need to use sticky notes to remember it. You know, like some people think that it's really secure to have like, you know, 50 random digits, and like it's just ridiculous. There's no way you can remember that. So you're obviously going to use some sort of technique to try and remember your password, and this decreases the security. You can use key files. Although I'm not going to go into those. It's handy if the file you're carrying on your USB, this is covered in the was it the Arch Linux wiki that you mentioned?
Yeah.
So one of the techniques they mentioned is to have a USB stick with, say, an image or a song, a popular song or something on it, and carry that around as like a kind of passphrase.
Yeah.
So if anyone gets hold of the USB, oh, it's just a song, who cares? But yeah, and since it's popular, you can always get it from somewhere else if you lose it.
Or even better, you could have like a couple of albums on there, so they have to guess which is the key file if they're trying to brute force it.
But surely, everyone's doing that, it's only a few hundred really popular songs.
And you can find it. And you can find it if you're using a key file. If
they're
going to be behind every song, take a thing from them.
Store your key file, as it were,